This is Morgan. Today we're going to talk about some of the great queens of Egypt, and who better to start with than one of the great female pharaohs, Hatshepsut. Hatshepsut approximately ruled from 1479 to 1473 BC as regent for her stepson and nephew Thutmose III. Then she was crowned as king and officially ruled from 1473 to 1458, making her rule about 22 years. Hatshepsut was known for her military power. She even led her troops into battle twice against Egypt's enemies in Nubia. Hatshepsut then focused her attention toward trade and economic alliances. She traded with kingdoms such as Punt and the Red Sea coast. She reopened the trading route to Punt. One major item they traded for was myrrh. She even rubbed myrrh oil into her skin so she could gleam like the stars before the whole land, as she states herself. One of her commissioned pink granite obelisks that were tributes to Amun, the king of the gods, is the tallest still standing obelisk in Egypt today. She also had the red chapel of Hatshepsut made at Karnak Temple. It was known as the place of the heart of Amun. And in the chapel, there was a bark with Amun's statue on it, behind curtains to keep from prying eyes. During her reign, with her army power and her smart trade skills, she proved that you do not have to be a man to be a good ruler. Nefertari was never pharaoh, but she was married to the great king Ramses II, who ruled for 67 years, having taken the throne in 1279 BC. And even though Nefertari wasn't the pharaoh, she did have a say in what her husband did. Nefertari was known for her signature feather crown. She is depicted wearing it in a statue in her temple in Abu Simbel. Nefertari was a very beautiful woman, and she stood by her husband like a deputy when he made decisions, showing the people that they were a unified rule and could be trusted. Ramses truly loved Nefertari and married her before he ascended the throne, which is a very uncommon thing in ancient Egypt. Nefertari never made it inside her temple because her health was very bad and only stayed on their boat. Nefertari died shortly after her temple was made. She died in the 34th year of Ramses' 67-year reign. In Nefertari's tomb, there are beautiful elaborate pictures of her, and throughout all of the pictures, her husband, the great Ramses II, is nowhere to be found. Nefertari is not only beautiful, but she was quite clever as well. She was able to read and write, which was then the utmost academic achievement. Silver was a very rare and very expensive find in Egypt, and in Nefertari's tomb, she is shown wearing a pair of silver Greek earrings. These earrings were gifted to Nefertari from the Aegean area, and she wore them with pride her whole life. Just like how she stood by her husband with pride her entire life. Our third and final queen is Arsinoe. Arsinoe is one of the few female Egyptian pharaohs. She ruled from 316 to 270 BC. Arsinoe was the niece of Alexander the Great. When Arsinoe was just a teen, she was sent to Greece for a royal arranged marriage to the king. When her husband died, she was arranged into another marriage that did not end well, and she fled back to her home in Egypt. When she arrived back in Egypt, she convinced her brother Ptolemy II to marry her, giving her away to the crown and the power of Egypt. By marrying her brother Ptolemy, she became the ruler of Egypt and the Greek Mediterranean. Because of her connections, Arsinoe brought more wealth and knowledge to Egypt than any other ruler before her. Her imports came from as far as India and even farther east. They imported jewels, ivory, and silk. Her entire population thrived under her rule, as well as naming Egypt the greatest marketplace on earth. Arsinoe and her brother had to set up a bureaucracy to keep up with all the wealth Egypt had. Arsinoe made royal monopolies on everything that was imported into Egypt. Coinage became very common for financial transactions, and this was the beginning of capitalism. Because of Arsinoe, Egypt was once again a land of great wealth and prosperity. In Philae, she was worshipped as an equivalent of Isis, the mother of all gods. She wanted to be known as the active goddess Isis. Arsinoe also modeled herself after great female rulers before her. She wore the red crown worn by northern Egypt, the feather headdress with the cow horns worn by Nefertari, Ramses II's wife, ram's horns, which were associated with the state god Amun-Ra, Hatshepsut's favorite deity, and lastly, she wore the sun disk, the creator of all life, representing Hetepheres, the queen mother. By wearing this crown, she showed that she was taking and using the power of all the great women who ruled Egypt before her. These women are astonishingly strong, unbelievably powerful, incredibly smart. These queens are awe-inspiring role models, and Egypt wouldn't be the great city it is today without them.